you get promoted because you're good at your job. And then suddenly you're carrying decisions, people, pressure, and expectations no one trained you for. If leadership feels heavier than you expected, even though you're capable, thoughtful, and doing what you were told would help, this episode is for you. Because slowing down and finding balance can stabilize you, but it doesn't tell you what needs to change. And leaders aren't struggling because they're weak. They're struggling because the way leadership works hasn't evolved, even though they have. In this episode, I want to do three things. I want to name why balanced helped and why it eventually stopped being enough. I want to give you the questions that clarify what's no longer sustainable and what's actually asking for change. And I want to talk about what leadership is being asked to hold next without losing yourself in the process. So let's get started. Welcome to this episode of Today's Balanced Leader. I wanted to come and talk about a shift that's happening in me and in the world. And it's not subtle anymore. Today's Balanced Leader wasn't a brand idea. It was a response. Back when I created this podcast, I saw a very real gap, a real need, and I felt responsible to do something about it. Because I was watching capable, high-performing leaders get promoted because they were good at their jobs. And then almost immediately left on their own to figure out how to carry everything that came with that responsibility. The pressure, the expectations, and the emotional weight that comes with leadership. And we know you can find training for strategy and training for performance, but there's very little support for the human side of leadership. Very little space to ask real questions. No permission to say, I don't know how to do this. Or push back and say, that doesn't make sense, or I don't agree with this, so help me understand. And people were paying for that quietly. They were holding it together at work while feeling overwhelmed, disconnected, and stretched thin. They were afraid to raise their hand, afraid to question a direction, and afraid that asking would be seen as a weakness instead of true leadership. That's why I created this podcast. I took years of executive experience and wanted to share it with leaders who were new and leaders who were seasoned. Not to tell them what to do, but to give them space to think differently, to ask better questions, to talk things through, to have someone to reflect with instead of working in isolation. Because honestly, we were never meant to lead or work alone. And that's why balance made sense then. Because people weren't failing at leadership, they were overloaded, overextended by it. They were caring too much for too long without support or even space to recalibrate. You see, balance wasn't about doing less or caring less. It was about stopping the constant overextension that had become normal. It was about helping people pause long enough to hear themselves again, to notice when something felt off, to reconnect to their values, their capacity, and their humanity before everything tipped too far. Balance gave leaders language for what they were experiencing, permission to slow down, and space to stabilize in systems that rarely encourage either. And at that moment, that worked mattered, because this is how I had learned to lead. I knew how to put on a professional face, to stay composed, to be prepared, to carry uncertainty quietly, yet keep things moving. I could walk into a room calm and capable when inside I was holding questions I didn't feel safe to ask. Concerns I didn't quite know how to name, and even instincts I had learned to override in the name of being professional. I learned when to speak and when not to, how to read a room, how to navigate dynamics, and how to play with the politics without naming them as politics. So I did what many leaders do. I adapted, I stayed efficient, I stayed agreeable, and I stayed strong. At least from the outside it worked. But over time, that way of leading required a subtle kind of self-abandonment. Not dramatic, not obvious, just small moments where I was disconnected, repeated often enough to become my new normal. And for a long time, I didn't question that story because I learned how to survive inside it. That pattern shows up everywhere, and especially for women. We're often rewarded for holding things together, for smoothing the edges, for being capable without being inconvenient. And the unspoken story becomes this: you can build a career or protect your home life. You can aspire or stay deeply connected. You can grow or keep things intact. That's a false choice. Wanting a meaningful home life while balancing a career with impact isn't unrealistic. It's human. Aspiring to senior leadership without losing yourself, losing your relationships, or even your sense of home isn't naive. It's necessary. So back then, balance made sense because balance wasn't about doing less. It was about stopping the constant overextension. It was about helping people slow down long enough to hear themselves again. And balance wasn't theoretical for me. It was personal. I had built a career by giving a lot, maybe giving everything, my time, my energy, my focus, my all. I said yes more than I should have. I pushed through more than I should have. And I measured success by how much I could carry. And I did get a lot out of it. I got experience, growth, confidence, a deep understanding of how systems work. But eventually, the costs started showing up slowly and then aggressively. How? Well, it started by me being exhausted. Not the kind of tired that sleep fixes. You know that kind. It's the kind where your mind won't shut off, even when your body is begging for you to rest. You know, where you try and rest for those 2 weeks throughout the year? I couldn't downshift. I couldn't fully relax. And even in the quiet moments, my system stayed on. My thoughts kept looping. My body stayed tense, and I had trouble sleeping. And trust me, no amount of willpower could override it anymore. That was my signal. It wasn't that I was weak, it wasn't that I had failed, but that something had been asked of me for too long. But I didn't listen. And then the ground shook in ways I hadn't planned for. My marriage of 27 years ended in a divorce that was anything but gentle. It was unexpected. It was disorienting. And it deeply impacted my children and our home. You know, the kind of impact that comes when trust breaks and the ground shifts all at once. At the same time and during COVID, I was working 7 days a week for months at a time. And as if that wasn't enough, grief struck. I lost my father, who had been my anchor and my lifeline. There was no space to land. There was no ground under my feet any longer. And when I didn't listen, my body decided it for me. All systems down, as they say on Star Trek. Not metaphorically, though, literally. Autoimmune hit. There were days I couldn't get out of bed. Days where my body simply wouldn't cooperate, no matter how much I tried to will it otherwise. And during that time, I was scared. I didn't understand what was happening, and still I tried to push. I told myself I just needed to get through the day, that I could rest later. that this wasn't the time to slow down. But here's the truth that I learned the hard way. Your body will eventually become the driver of your life if you refuse to listen while you still have the choice. Like I said, it wasn't dramatic, it wasn't loud, but it was decisive. No more negotiating, no more overriding signals, no more pretending resilience meant ignoring what was clearly breaking down. That's when balance stopped being a philosophy and became a requirement in my life, and why I'd created this podcast. Because balance taught me something essential. You can't keep extracting from yourself indefinitely and expect to stay intact. And I didn't want leaders to have to learn the way that I did. So I created this podcast to bring balance into leadership conversations before people hit the wall, before their bodies forced the pause, and before the cost showed up in ways they couldn't ignore. Because so many leaders were functioning, but barely holding on. They were capable, they were committed, and they were quietly overwhelmed, often afraid to admit it out loud. Afraid of saying, this is too much, or I don't know how to keep doing this. Because that would be seen as a weakness instead of awareness. So today's balanced leader became a place where leadership and well-being could coexist together, where strategy could sit alongside nervous system awareness, where performance didn't come at the expense of health, and where leaders could tend to the whole system, not just the role that they were in. Balance helped people stop bleeding. It helped them stabilize. It helped them breathe again. But it was never meant to be the final destination. Because once you stabilize, something else gets asked. And that's why today's balanced leader is becoming today's evolving leader. Because once you're no longer in crisis, you're not finished. You want to continue to grow. And then the real question becomes, who are you now? And how do you lead from that space? That's the part that matters. Because this podcast is becoming a space for leaders who aren't just trying to hold it together, but who are ready to lead with clarity, capacity, and integrity. We'll talk about leadership as it actually shows up in real lives, not theory, not platitudes, but the real tension between ambition and health, care and accountability, and performance and presence. Balance and evolution are not the same thing. Balance stabilizes. Evolution requires discernment. Balance helps you to slow down where evolution asks you to decide. And this is where many capable leaders find themselves right now. They've created space. They've become more aware. But awareness alone doesn't tell you what to do next. So if you want something practical from this episode, here it is. These are the three questions I now come back to with leaders I talk to or work with and in my own life when balance stops being enough. The first question is, what is no longer sustainable even if it's technically working? For some leaders, it may be the role they're in. For others, it's the pace they constantly try to keep up with. And for many, it's the unspoken expectation of constant availability, which is never clearly named, but always expected. This question isn't about what's broken. It's about what's costing you more than you're willing to keep paying. The second question is, what am I continuing out of habit, loyalty, or expectation? Not alignment. And this is often where this is how it's just done, quietly replaces what's actually true. It's where we tell ourselves, if I want it done right, I have to do it myself, or it's just faster if I do it my way. not because we don't trust others, but because at some point, control became a way to feel safe, a way to manage risk, to avoid disappointment, and to keep things from unraveling. And over time, that turns into overfunctioning because you're caring more than is actually yours. And staying involved where we could be guiding instead. This question I love because it asks you to notice a couple of things. Where am I still leading from responsibility instead of alignment? And where am I holding on, not because it's right, but because it's familiar? Take your time to answer those. And then the third and final question is, what kind of leader is the next chapter of my life actually asking me to become? This is where many leaders get stuck, because we've been trained to optimize, to adjust, and to manage better. But evolution isn't about tweaking what already exists. It's about noticing, becoming aware of when the version of you that got here and is no longer the version that is required next. This question asks you to pause and consider, who am I being asked to lead as now? With the experience I have and the awareness I've gained, and even the limits I can no longer ignore. For some, this looks like leading with more discernment instead of urgency. For others, it means releasing control and trusting their team in new ways. And for many, it's about letting go of identities that were built in survival and choosing leadership rooted in capacity, integrity, and presence. Take some time to notice where these questions feel expansive and where they maybe even feel uncomfortable. Both those awarenesses are powerful information. Okay, so here's why this matters now, not someday, not eventually, because world leaders are operating in a new way, a changed way, but many of the expectations placed on them haven't. Think about it. The pace is faster, the complexity is higher, the emotional load is heavier, and at the same time, leaders are being asked to do something they were never trained for, to lead humans. Not just lead roles, not just outputs or performance metrics, humans. And we have to admit it, technology and AI are also changing how work gets done. Tasks are faster, decisions are accelerated, and efficiency is no longer the differentiator. What's left is capacity, nervous systems, the ability to stay present and engaged in complexity, to make clear decisions when you're under pressure, to hold nuance without collapsing into urgency or control, and to lead without burning out yourself or the people around you. This is where balance helps you pause and stabilize, but it doesn't teach you to lead forward in uncertainty. That's where evolution comes in. Remember, evolution is about discernment, about knowing what to keep, what to release, and what to grow into next. About leading from who you are now, not who you had to be to survive earlier chapters. And leaders who don't make that shift feel it first in their bodies, then in their teams, and eventually in their results. This isn't about becoming something new. It's about leading from what's actually true now. So, like I said, this podcast is evolving too, and that's why today's Evolving Leader is here for you. It's going to be a space for leaders who are no longer trying to push through, to prove themselves, or hold everything together at any cost. It's for leaders who have already done the work of stabilizing, who are aware, capable, and thoughtful, and who are now asking different questions. Because this isn't about choosing between ambition and well-being. It's about learning how to lead with clarity, capacity, and integrity in real systems, with real people, under real pressure. Here, we're going to talk about leadership as it actually shows up in lived experience, the tension between ambition and health, between care and accountability, and between performance and presence. We're going to explore how leaders make decisions when there isn't a perfect answer, how to work with complexity without defaulting to control, and how to build trust with others and with yourself as the ground keeps shifting. This is leadership that integrates the whole human, the mind, the body, the nervous system, and the role. Because the future of leadership isn't just smarter, it's more embodied, more discerning, and more honest about what it takes to sustain both people and results. So let's bring this together. Today we talked about why balance mattered and why for many leaders it stopped being enough. I know it was for me. Balance helped us and me to slow down. It helped to stabilize. It helped us come back into ourselves when the pace and pressure had pulled us too far away. But stabilization isn't the same as evolution. Once things quiet, different questions surface. We explored three of them today. Do you remember them? The first one was, what is no longer sustainable, even if it's technically working? The second one was, what am I continuing out of habit, loyalty, or even expectation, not alignment? And the third one was, what is this season of leadership asking me to become, not fix? These aren't questions you answer all at once. They're questions you return to over time, slowly, honestly, and without forcing clarity. So here's the takeaway I want to leave with you today. You don't need to rush into change. You don't need to have it all figured out, but you do need to pay attention. Notice where something feels stable, but maybe no longer true. Notice where you're holding on because it's familiar, not because it fits anymore. And notice what's asking for you to evolve, even quietly. That's not a problem to solve. That's just information that you're getting. And if balance was about learning how to pause, then evolution is about learning how to choose, again, with clarity, capacity, and integrity. And that's what we'll keep exploring here together. My ask of you is, if this episode brought something up for you, I want you to know you're not alone in it. This podcast is shaped by real leadership conversations, by what you're navigating, what you're questioning, and what you want support around next. So if there's something you're moving through, a tension you're holding, or a conversation you wish leaders were having more honestly, I'd love to hear from you. And share this episode with someone who's carrying a lot right now. And if you want to stay in these conversations, make sure you follow or subscribe so we can keep evolving the space together. Remember, this isn't about becoming someone else. It's about leading in a way your body, your values, and your life can actually sustain. Welcome to today's Evolving Leader. Before we close, I want to invite you to pause for a moment. Leadership isn't just about what you know or what you do. It's about how you show up in your body, in your choices, and in how you relate to yourself when things feel uncertain. If something from today's conversation stayed with you, let it. You don't need to rush to act on it. Integration happens when insight meets presence. And if you know someone who might need this conversation, a colleague, a peer, or someone you're guiding, consider sharing it with them. Sometimes leadership looks like using what you've learned to support someone else's growth. Thank you for spending time with me and for the way you continue to evolve in how you lead and live. I'll see you next time on today's Evolving Leader.